If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Axar Command. This evening our topic is creating a life that works for you. So to begin with, let's do an integrative process. And if you've been using supplication in your approach to God, which would be, Dear God, please, whatever, let's begin to work with the concept of invocation and evocation. The premise being everything is within you, and you call yourself into that state of consciousness, and you evoke from within you that divine potential that you would stand within and receive of. So let's begin by taking a deep breath. And be aware that when you take a deep breath, you're breathing in all of the divine prana and chi forces of the universe. But moreover, you're actually breathing divine essence and filling yourself with the particles of infinity, the very cosmos and all that is in it is held in a quiescent potential that you ingest with your breath. That is why very highly evolved masters are called the Eshwar Kanawali, which means the God eaters. They learn to eat God. That is to say, they ingest the cosmos, the infinity, through their breath. This is how great yogis can sustain their life on virtually no food at all, in many cases, for indefinite periods of time. Not that I'm advocating that for those of us that are in the Western world. We kind of need to eat to handle the energies that we're managing. But just to expand the understanding of what it is when I say with each show, let's take a deep breath and let's do it again. And now call yourself forward into the divine light and sound that is your perfect manifestation of attunement and integration. Ask that only that which is for the highest good come forward for you tonight and throughout the rest of your day or evening, wherever you happen to be. And also ask that anything that no longer serves your higher purpose, any energy, anything at all, in your field that doesn't serve you, that can be released through grace, allow it to go now with your next breath. And just visualize yourself as a radiant continuum, an extension of the divine all that is, a divine ray of consciousness, manifesting throughout eternity in a myriad of appearances and forms in the matrix of time, space, and beyond the conditioned patterns of time and space. Experience the reality that, in truth, your consciousness and energy. Your life pattern as it exists consists of energy that you have conditioned by your interpretation. You have made it your own by using it and allowing it to move through the energetic continuum that you call your body-mind individualized consciousness expression. You have taken the formless all that is and personalized it. And that personalization is what you call your, quote, life. So as a ray of consciousness, you've been given free will to arrange your life energies however you like. It's much as if you've been given a house and then allowed to decorate and furnish it however you like. The question for our seminar tonight is creating a life that works for you. Now, your individual matrix of conditioned energy that you call your life, with its specific lessons and challenges, is what you've brought in with you from previous choices and experiences in a myriad of contexts, planetary worlds, dimensional explorations. In truth, your consciousness is omnipresent. As you return to God consciousness, you will reappropriate the realization and understanding of yourself as omnipresent. And the fascination with delving into past lives or projecting into future lives or even being terribly concerned about this individual appearance that you call this present life will begin to drop away from you as so many silly things do. It's silly to limit yourself to past lives or to project future lives. It is more goal-fitting to realize and appropriate fully this life here and now. It's an intense practicality that begins to govern the miraculous wonderment of your vast yourself. It becomes intensely here and now, very practically anchored in your everyday, ordinary life experience. That is the warp and the woof, if you will, of your entire cosmic life. So it's like you come in fully to inhabit this time-space particle to be able to transcend it all into the vaster all that is. But it's an inside-out job. That which is within you, you simply make it available to your conscious awareness, and then you step into it and embody it as your new reality, so to speak. So the purpose, basically, of your life is to learn through your own personal direct experiences what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Or in other words, what leads you into greater love and loving. Now, young souls will tend to want, in other words, a young soul is a soul that hasn't had very many physical humanoid embodiments. And so when they get into a physical body, they're likely to go, whoop-de-doo, I have a body and I can do this and that and this and that with the body. And they become very focused on material and sensual pursuits and gratifying the senses in a physical way. More experienced souls tend to be fascinated with acquiring knowledge. They want to understand, and they want to develop a sense of personal empowerment and identity. The old souls, those who have been embodiment many, many times, will tend to see the bigger picture, and they will tend to operate more from a sense of knowing, which is derived from much knowledge which has become distilled into wisdom. So you can pretty well tell your stage of soul age, so to speak, by seeing where you are primarily investing your attention in your life. Your life resembles in many respects the scattered pieces of a puzzle that you are meant to seek and find the pieces and fit them into the correct places to reveal the beautiful expression of love that your life was designed to exemplify. So your life is also your specific frequency, your tonality, your energetic signature, and your message and contribution to the whole. Your life has a divine design, a higher purpose, a major life lesson, and a major challenge to overcome. For example, some are born with a physical handicap or an emotional or mental handicap. They may be coming in with an experience of illness or have a short life span. But in that length of time and within that challenging context, they touch many, many lives. They bring the love of God, the miracle working power of God, before and into that arena. So that even though the life patterning may be very brief in some instances, it is very meaningful and impactful to the people who have co-participated in that life. So when you are in correct alignment with the divine plan for your life, and there is an overall divine plan that was orchestrated before you took embodiment. And when you're in alignment with that, you are both happy and productive. And things will tend to flow naturally and unfold as they're meant to. Remember that when you come into this earth incarnation, in spirit, everything has already been acted out. It's already been completed. So you come into the past. I've mentioned that many times, that Earth is in a time lag, and we're not experiencing anything for the first time. We are revisiting, in a major deja vu, all the things that we've already completed and done. And you might say, well, what's the purpose then? Well, the purpose is that you can go through it again in slow motion, in sequential time unfoldment, which is time, you know, sequentially going step by step through a process which in spirit is instant and without time reference, so that you can choose again and make a more excellent, masterful choice and opt to walk in the highest divine destiny and unfolding. So, in other words, you can shift from doing it the hard way under the law of karma to the easy way of learning to flow with grace. And so let me ask you this. Is your current approach to life working for you? Now you might ask, how can I tell? Well, basically, are you centered, productive, happy, peaceful, and doing what is meaningful to you? Then I guess you could probably say that whatever you're doing is working for you at this time. So your task would simply be to keep moving forward with whatever is working for you and to have the wit to step into another approach when you find it no longer works for you. And you'll find as you progress in consciousness that every level that you move through multidimensionally has different laws that govern it. And so you need to learn a different approach as you unfold in your spiritual dimensionality of consciousness. So basically speaking, we could define true happiness as integrated union with your divine essence. The closer we get to truth, the happier we are. The closer we get to God, the more godlike we are, which would be another way of saying the more pure love we are, because God is love. And happiness and love and God all go together. So other than that, there's really no criteria to determine a happy life. It is what it is to you. Happy if you say happy or not. So basically you give the only meaning anything has for you. Your entire life is your own interpretation. Now this is an important key. I want to say it again. You give the only meaning anything has for you. Your entire life is your own interpretation. And we could extend that to everyone else. Everyone else gives the only meaning anything has for them in their life. And their entire life is their own interpretation. If you can realize that and really take that on board and have some tea with it, you'll realize how important it is to live your life, to walk the truth in knowing that you have embodied and experienced, and to not try to ape and monkey the behavior of others or to appropriate their truth as if it was yours. It's important to make your life work for you and to give it the meaning and the interpretation that will continually lift and empower and enjoy you. You want to increase the enjoyment in your life. So you're gradually learning that you have created, allowed, promoted, entertained, and invited every single person, experience, and event in your life. Wow. Well, not necessarily consciously, because everything is evocative in your consciousness. Your feelings call forth similar feelings. Your thoughts evoke similar thought patterns and thought forms. Your nature and your expectations draw to you similar people or people who are polar opposites to test and try you in that area. So your whole life is evoking and calling towards you those particular energetics that will meet you at the place where you need strengthening or challenging or testing or disrupting or fortifying or integrating. So accepting full responsibility for your life as it is step one in awakening. When some things in your life are karmic debts, they will come forward as unfinished business for you to deal with them. Sometimes they are situations that come due to previous choices or associations that you've formed. But nevertheless, you can choose right now to take a different approach to your life if you don't like what your present experience is. Now, to shift your experience requires a conscious effort on your part. And it is a conscious effort to work differently in your mind. And the first thing to do is to monitor your thoughts and your mouth. This is a huge key. Because know that whatever you speak, because of your divine nature, which is godlike and therefore creative, all the forces of the universe must align with your spoken word and manifest according to your thoughts, words, and feelings. In other words, the whole universe reflects and resounds the energy that you put out. If you've been watching The Dog Whisperer with Cesar Millan, as I have, you will find that dogs and animals interpret us in terms of energy. But I would expand that concept to also say that the universe interprets you as energy. Keeping in mind, which the universe knows who you are, keeping in mind that the universe perceives you as the son and daughter of the living God, and that it is subservient to you. In other words, man, human, has been given dominion over everything in creation but one another. We're to leave hands off of our brother and sister other than to do what we can to be a blessing to them. But other than that, we're not to inflict our will on them. But rest of creation, we are here to be the governing caretakers and directors of all the energy throughout the cosmos, with the exception of other created beings. So I was watching today on the, National Geographic. They had a program, as they've been having, on end-time prophecies of Revelation. And also an interesting program on the Amish community. And I always use programs like that to meditate. And it was very interesting because I realized that people were trying to interpret old writings as the literal word of God. Now, I know this brings up a lot of controversy because there is a belief that written scriptures are the literal word of God. My point of view on that is that they are inspired by the living word of God, which would be the Holy Spirit, but that the real word of God is inside you. That way, it can't be messed with. It's internal. It is the word that spoke you into creation, and then embodied, incarnate as you. So the Word of God is kept very safe in you. In fact, Greg Braden has written some books on the fact that the Word of God is encoded energetically and vibrationally into every cell of our body. We've been taught that by the Keys of Enoch as well. So we know that everything that we have projected into an outer form at some point must be located and found within us. The entirety of the universe is within us, the entirety of creation. Now, we don't have a conscious access to that, of course, until we're completely God-realized. And even then, there's more and more and more. But we have what we need and what we are able to receive, interpret, and work with at any given moment. So there's no need to outsource for anything. That's why we are using the process of invocation and evocation, where you call forward that state from within your own quantum beingness within yourself, and then you call that energy forth from you and through you into manifestation. Important to do that. The segment on the Amish community was also very interesting because the Amish youth are allowed to run amok from age 16 to 21 and go and do anything they want in the world and live in the world and partake of all the world has, and then they're given the choice of whether or not to be baptized and officially join the Amish community, which if they do that, they must stay for the rest of their life, or if they leave, they are completely shunned for the rest of that life, and they are as dead to their family and friends in the community. But to hear the young people speak about the challenge, because the belief is if they are not baptized in the Amish community and faith, they're going to go to hell when they die. And so it's a real crisis of faith, a real crisis of identity, a real challenge as to whether they go with what is so for them, what works for them, what is the truth they have embraced of through their own direct revelation, or do they fit into a very safe and settled reality construct that basically will define their life without any other need to be worried about it. It's interesting, and there's no right or wrong in it. It is what it is, and it will be whatever the people choose that choose. And the Amish community works, obviously, for many, many people. They say 80% of the young people who are given this freedom to do what they want for a period of time, that 80% of them do end up returning to the Amish community. I suppose because of the relationships and friendships and bonds and loving security that it provides. But the point I'm making here is that different things work for different souls and different stages of their unfoldment and evolution. But ultimately, as you mature spiritually, you must enter the kingdom of heaven within you. You must go to that eye of the needle, which is very, very, it's a very narrow place that Jesus has described as the sacred heart, the entrance into the sacred heart. And it's that one area that can only be entered one by one in our direct inquiry and our direct seeking out the Lord within us and dwelling in the presence of the Lord within us. And as you get hungry, really hungry for truth, really hungry for God, when the world has, you know, you've experienced it, you're surfeited with it, you're an old soul, you've been there, you've done it all, and at some point you get to the place where nothing, nothing matters as much as dwelling in the presence of God, inwardly, in yourself, and realizing the truth of God, the real truth that doesn't pass away, that doesn't change, that is eternal, that is the living Word of God, that is absolutely 100% forever true. That place can only be accessed when you're really desperate for it, you're really hungry for it, and you won't allow anything in the world to stand between you and receiving what is truly your highest divine destiny and heritage. So, in terms of beliefs and projected realities and interpretations, even our prophets, psychics, sages, yogis, scriptures, all of them, every one of them, are someone's interpretation of what is truth. If it's in a form, then you know it has to be transcended at some point because God is spirit. And those that will be the true worshipers of God must worship God in spirit and in truth, not in a book, not in a building, not in an organized thought system, not in a belief system, and not in outer rituals of any kind, even though many of them can signify to our lower self a commitment we're making, for example, like baptism or the sacraments of the church. These signify to the lower child consciousness that we are serious about following the Lord and coming under the discipline of a particular spiritual teaching. That's the value of all outer rites and initiations and sacraments. But at some point, we need to go beyond that and know God in spirit and in truth. So the deeper you go into this quest for truth and enlightenment, the more you realize that it's only what you have come to know from your own direct experience that matters. In fact, you will always have doubt and confusion if you go outside of yourself and try to find your truth in the world, in belief systems, in scriptural disputations and commentaries. After a while, you just get so confused that you don't know what you believe anymore. And that's a sign to quit reaching outside for what you can only really discover and allow to emerge from within you when you're quiet enough and still enough. And eventually, you will choose an incarnation which will allow you to have that if this is not it for you. You will ultimately realize and receive everything that God has for you. Now, the only teacher worth listening to is a teacher of love. If the path you're on does not have love as its predominant quality, you're following the wrong path. There are only two emotions, according to Jesus, love or fear. And fear is false evidence appearing real. Or, as it's called in Christianity, Satan. So it's Christ or Satan. Love, which is another word for Christ, or fear. And the choice is yours. But the path of fear is a path of darkness and misery. The path of love is the only way back to oneness with the Father. We merge with God by becoming like God, more and more of the warp and woof of love. But since God crafted us in the divine image and likeness, love is who we are. Love is our real nature. Now, true love is impersonal. We actually, unless we have attained a degree of enlightenment, don't have a clue what love is. And in English, there's only one word for it. Whereas in Greek, I think there's some 16 different definitions for the word love. So true love is impersonal. It has no self-motive. It has no personal agenda. And it is entirely unconditional, which means nothing can affect it, and it is never changing. Now, if you would want to know about God, meditate on that. God, being love, has a love that is entirely impersonal. It has no motive, no agenda. It is unconditional. It is eternal. It will never change. God loves you as you are. It is said that after God created man and woman, that he saw the creation and it was very good. So you have divine approval. You have divine love. You have divine support. It's unconditional. It's all-embracive. And it allows you to take as long as you want to return to the knowledge of your wholeness. Yes, I believe we have many appearances in time and space until we eventually all awaken. So that is what I share in my show, because that has been what has been revealed to me as I spend time with God and in studying and in questing and questioning the things that have come forth as conditioned thought forms and belief systems. You might say my whole life has been very much involved with the research of belief systems, particularly spiritual ones, and where they lead. Where do you end up when you follow these belief systems? I had a past life as a yogi in which I actually attained God realization through all of the major religions. But I would pick a particular time for that exercise of that path. And when I was progressing on that path, whether it was Christian or Muslim or Hindu or whatever the belief was, I would stay with that path until I had fully realized God, and then I would shift to another. And I think my life message in that incarnation was to prove that all paths ultimately lead to whatever that highest ideal is that is held forth as the divine. You know, forms that manifest as the great embodiments of God are like matrices, they're like cups of nectar. And some people like this cup and some people like that cup. But the one cup that came that was like the nectar of nectars was when Jesus embodied the fullness of God's love. He was like the full, whole drink of divine love. and for the first time we had a perfect human embodiment that also was perfectly one with God and perfectly enlightened and exemplified as a divine pattern the perfect way to walk, to return to our highest divine heritage and inheritance. So that is why he has been known as the teacher alike of angels and of men. He is the teacher of teachers and the Lord of lords. Amongst many teachers, amongst many lords, he is the teacher of teachers and the Lord of lords. So if it, whatever it is, has led you to greater love, it has been a path of truth, and it is the way that Jesus came to exemplify. Again, it is not his physical name form body that matters. It's the principle that he embodied, which was God's pure, unconditional, divine love. So whatever it is, if it leads you to greater love, that is the right path, and that will work for you. So God alone, as love, is eternal truth. But if your path leads not to love, then leave it immediately, for it will not work for you. What is not of love is not of God, and therefore not true. It will be an illusion. And paths that look into darkness and controversy and conspiracy and try to cause polarization by blaming and attacking and positioning people and things against one another, that's not a path of love. That's a path of falsehood. That's a path of separation. Depart that path. That is not going to lead you to truth, and it is only going to lead you back to an incarnation in which you embody as the very thing that you set yourself against. Because until we can love it all and see the face of Christ in everything, the face of God in everyone, until we can, we're going to keep coming back. God has all of eternity to retract his many appearances in time and space. So it's up to you if you want to make this particular embodiment your last obligatory visit to the realms of illusion and nightmare appearances. So only love triumphs, wins, and succeeds all of the time, and love is always sufficient. Now, here are some reasons why people are so afraid today. First off, they're looking in the wrong direction. I mean, watch the news. What are they looking at? They're looking at the world through fear-based belief. They are holding up all of these fearful images of war and danger and threat and terrorism and scarcity and lack and financial instability and looking to the government for all the answers, or looking to more money or more job security or more this or more that. None of those are going to do anything for anyone because they're all looking in the wrong direction. They don't focus on the solution, but on the problem. And the very focus of your divine energy on a problem holds it in place. It fortifies it. It props it up. It keeps it intact. So, until with enough people in the group consciousness focusing on these problems, they literally create the disease. They create the lack. They create the war. They create the end time scenarios that they have such passionate belief in. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. For every dire scenario that people project on the infinite loving cosmos, there are just as many gazillions of positive probable realities that they could be evoking and calling forward. So for heaven's sake, if you have a problem, quit propping it up with your attention. Don't talk about it. Don't keep revisiting it in your mind. Don't keep dragging it with you like a dead fish from the past and propping it up and making it live in the present. Leave those things alone. Drop the focus on things that you don't want to keep perpetrating in your own life and in the world. So the real problem is that most people of the 7 billion on the planet are totally identified with their illusion, their body-mind complex, and they're sound asleep. They're doing everything in a state like a fetus in the womb, totally unconscious and oblivious to reality. And the world they see is an entire dream projection, and they're mistaking this dream projection coming out of their fear-based mind for reality. They're mistaking the fear-based illusion projected out of their separated mind for reality. Now, what would the solution be? Well, just simply wake up. You know? And that sounds simple, but, you know, you got to start with at least realizing it's an option and courting the possibility of, what if I could wake up and see in an entirely different way? So miracles occur when, instead of focusing upon the problem, you forget it entirely, lose sight of it, and instead keep focusing on the solution. And the key is to only put energy towards what you really desire to experience and have happen. Now, people who are very, very devout Christians are extremely successful in doing that when they claim the biblical word. You know, there are many promises in the Bible that reflect eternal truths rather accurately. And when you stand on those promises through faith, you can literally speak miracles into situations. And that's why that thought system I have found to be the most effective, because it is based on, it's based on miracles that actually happened and are experiential in the lives of so many people. So if you're going to pick a thought system, for heaven's sake, at least pick one that has a tremendous amount of evidence of how it works and changes lives. Pick a good one if you're going to pick one. And I think we have to have a belief and thought system we operate out of. Otherwise, you know, there's too much random space. You don't know where to focus your life. You have to have some sort of training wheels to get yourself going in the right direction. So a really good spiritual path and belief system is very important, I think, as the training wheels to get yourself going in the right direction until it becomes second nature, until you become the very thing that you're trying to practice, and you've mastered it, and then you don't need it. Then you transcend all of it, and then you can enter at will in it if you want, or not if you want, once you have learned the lesson. So, of course, again, the solution that ends the problems entirely is simply awakening from this nightmare of separation from all good or God. So we're basically here in this embodiment to live in a way so we never have to come back here again, and to transcend this negative worldview. We're not here to escape it, but to see and really see clearly what is there, to see it for what it is. And what it is false evidence appearing real. So the world as it is currently presented on the nightly news exists only in your mind. Take that and have some tea with it. The next time you watch the news, you can remind yourself, what I'm seeing on that television exists only in my mind. And it is an entirely false, mentally projected illusion. So as light workers, our number one purpose is to awaken and to learn how to function from an enlightened and consciously aware state. Consciously aware. In order to be consciously aware, we start with becoming more aware of our physical body, what we put into it, how we dress it, how we move it through time and space, how we allow it to express in context with other people and situations. You start where you are, and you wake up to what is right here, right now. So there are many useful tools that I have shared on different shows that are useful, particularly for old souls that are ready for total enlightenment. I have suggested A Course in Miracles as being an excellent tool. Books by Gary Renard, such as Disappearance of the Universe, is another one. It's based on The Course in Miracles. It's excellent. There's a book on the Yoga of Wisdom called Yana Vahini. It simply is The Way of Wisdom by Sai Baba. It's about non-dualism or Advaita. So that belief system is that only God exists and everything else is a temporary, illusory appearance. There's a good book by, well, many good books by Krishnamurti, You Are the World. It's another one. All of his books are very insightful in how to see life in a different way from the upper vision. Vipassana meditation is a very good Buddhist technique of where you just watch your thoughts and you just stay present and just observe and let things and states of consciousness pass by you without hooking into them. And then I think an excellent path is the one that I have been walking for some 40 years, actually longer than that, which is soul transcendence taught by my teacher, John Roger. And that has really, really worked for me. It's an essentially a very Christ-focused path, which would have to be for me. And it is totally love-based, but it's also extremely user-friendly and practical. So one of the most important areas for you to pay attention to is your belief system. Here, the human potential and new thought movements have much to teach you in making you more aware of your beliefs and how they mold your life experiences. Some new thought movements would be religious science, unity, Christian science, those that teach you of the universal law of mind, which is a lower level teaching. It comes out of the mental plane. But be that as it may, it still governs the human thought life very much. It's the basic premise behind the movie, The Secret. So again, you have a teaching coming forward to the mass consciousness today that our thoughts and our feelings very much mold what appears in our life. So you're not just dropped here to accept potluck, but rather to become more like the gourmet cooks in that what you select to partake of in your life. And you're learning to pay attention to what you select, that you select quality ingredients, and then you learn how to combine them and prepare them tastefully. So in this partaking of life, it's important that you begin to really look at what you're ingesting through your senses, through your thoughts, through your beliefs, through your mind, through your senses, through your eyes, through your ears, because everything goes into making your consciousness that you absorb. You know, everything is food. We go back to the Eshwar Kanwalis, the God-eaters, the ones that subsist on the cosmic prana, but know that everything in your whole environment is energy that you're breathing in and eating, and it's forming the energy molecules of your body and your mind and your emotions. So what do you keep company with? What is it that is your daily companion? Well, basically yourself. So create a beautiful heavenly environment within yourself to dwell in your own divine presence as one with the beloved. Now, the most important area of your life is your worldview, what you view as your reality. And people do things with their free will, their thoughts, and their beliefs that they adopt from others, and their emotions, that are not love or truth-based. And then they frantically search everywhere for the answers and basically end up confused, distrustful, frustrated, miserable. So only your own experience will overcome your doubts. But the problem, when you keep running after other people or keep searching on the web, internet for your answers, or run to this psychic or that channel or this information or that information, the problem is that you're not paying attention to your feedback. Now, if your feedback is feeding you back confusion, distrust, frustration, miserable, scared, all of the negatives, hello, it's telling you you're looking at something that is not loving and not affirming, and it means it's not working for you. It's not a path of love. It's a path of confusion, a path of misery, a path of distrust, a path of frustration. Get out of it. Follow love. Love is the savior of us all. Love is the guru. Love is the teacher. Love is the Holy Spirit. So doing, saying, and thinking things that make you miserable and expecting a happy outcome is just plain silly. So ask yourself and check to see if you're really spiritually aligned. A proper spiritually aligned life is known in the East as Dharma. In the West, it's called righteousness. So are you living a life of Dharma and righteousness? You know, it's our nature, because we're godlike and made in the image and likeness of God, it's our nature to be happy when we live according to our Dharma and we're righteous. We feel so good when we do good works, when we are a blessing to people, when we are kind and loving, when we give of ourselves sacrificially, when we put aside our own personal needs and rush to the assistance of another. It is spontaneously joy-making. It is spontaneously the most happy feedback when you're in a life of service and righteous living, when you make good choices and you earn your own self-esteem and your own respect because you're doing good, respectful, noble, and honorable actions. You are modeling Christ. You're drawing nearer to Christ as you become more Christ-like. You're growing nearer to God as you become more God-like. And your natural behavior is starting to show you as a son and daughter of the living God. So if you want to be happy and to live a life of purpose, it's very important to find your Dharma in life and to live according to the principle of righteousness. The Bhagavad Gita and the Bible both contain the keys to who you are and how to live a dharmic and righteous life. And those I recommend for anyone who would like to check themselves. So each area of your life has an ideal expression to be at least aimed at, if not attained and mastered in this very life. However, in this life, we have a major boost available. We have the emerging of the Christ consciousness and the Christ into the physical world. We have great avatars and masters who've re-embodied. We have a whole generation of young star-seeded children who are indigos and crystals and rainbow children. We have a lot of people on the planet today who are enlightened to various degrees, who can serve as examples that we are to emulate and not imitate, but emulate in the sense of, oh, that's what it looks like when a person is living a life that is fulfilling, purposeful, righteous, and according to their Dharma. Wow, that's really beautiful. Let me see what I can do to model that in my own life. So your physical body is designed to work. The body must be used to produce your livelihood in a righteous way. and to contribute to the well-being of your family, community, nation, and the world. And your body and your health break down if the body is underused or overexerted. So keep the balance in your life. Keep the proper things going that keep you in balance and no excesses in any area. So your challenge is always to direct yourself into life-enhancing and health and balance-promoting choices and habits, and to avoid or face or overcome and master self-destructful habits and addictive patterns. And this is an area that's left entirely up to your free will. No one can really legislate common sense, morality, good choices, or noble character. This is something you do for yourself and choose for yourself. Your emotions are designed to be serene and to be filled with compassion and love and empathy. Your mind is to be clear and focused and to enable you to hold the focus steady in intention until it manifests your objective. Your soul is designed to see the face of the beloved in everyone and to live with honor and respect of all life forms. And God sees God. So you know that you have merged and become one with God and are God conscious when all you are conscious of is the divine in you and in everyone else. Until that is the case in your life, keep working in choosing those things that really work for you. And they work for you if they're based on love. Let's go out with a nice, huge chant. Deep breath. You beloveds.